Welcome to the Storage Stories Podcast, where Deanie Burns and Jason Coonan tackle self-storage news, trends, education, and share their expert experience in both the U.S. and Canadian markets. This podcast is for rookies and seasoned veterans alike as we all try to grow our businesses and leave our mark on the self-storage industry.
Hi, everyone. I'm Deanie Burns. I'm the Chief of Staff with Sunbird Storage, and I am here with our CEO, Jason Coonan. How are you doing today, Jason?
I'm doing good. Excited to be here.
Me too. I am so excited because it is June and we are doing a market update and things are picking up. It is getting hot out there in the market, and I'm not just talking temperature wise. So today we're going to be talking about, first I want to mention Meredith Mears, Mary Mears. Really love her. She is a wonderful colleague. She is the senior advisor of SVN, primarily on the East Coast in Maryland. And she just produced a great report that talks about how there is supply entering the market now, finally. So she said out of the total participants she surveyed, 70% indicated that there is a significant majority of observed new supply entering the market. So that's good news. We haven't seen that for a while, have we, Jason?
No, it's been a little while.
Yeah. So she said 29% responded no, indicating that nearly a third of respondents have not seen a noticeable change, but many have. And so what are you seeing out there in the market? Have you seen a noticeable change or not yet?
In terms of supply, I would say things have slowed down a little bit. We probably saw some more supply hitting the market the last couple of years, but a lot of projects, I would say, got paused, and some are restarting. But the shortage of supply has been probably good to help rebalance rates a bit.
Right. Exactly. So, maybe we need to move into Maryland and do some work there, because she says that at least in the eastern portion and what she's seen, there's a pretty active period of development and expansion happening. So that's good news as well. And she said a general occupancy trends over the last year, a majority, 52% reported the occupancy has remained the same. So about half. Meanwhile, 35% indicated a decline in occupancy, and only 11% reported an increase. So what are you seeing at Sunbird, Jason?
Yeah, that's very consistent with what we've been seeing. Not specifically at Sunbird, because we don't have as many maybe stabilized facilities. We're a bit of a newer brand, but what I've been reading and what I've been hearing, you know, from industry sources is that occupancy over the last 12 months, as Mary reports, probably even 24 months, has been characterized as mostly flat to down. So some of the large operators are now kind of building back their occupancy, but it's definitely been a couple of years of downtrends. So it's interesting. I don't know exactly who she surveyed. Kind of, she said people in her network. I'm not sure how many people, but I'm not really that surprised to see only, you know, 10 or 15% of respondents showing occupancy increases. I think the market's become more competitive. Everyone's trying to gain market share. There's price war going on that we always talk about. So it hasn't been the easiest out there in terms of the general market. Now, every local market is different. So there's certainly some areas where occupancy is very strong, but yeah, it confirms a lot of what I've been hearing.
Okay. Yeah. So, well, right now is our summer selling season, everyone. People are moving around. Tenants, customers, prospects are moving from state to state. There's a lot of transition going on in the summer. School has ended. So people are ready to take on other projects, such as getting rid of their overflow and putting it into storage and kind of doing some spring cleaning, right? Minimizing the new trend is to be very minimal and have less clutter. So we can help out with that in storage. Also, I would encourage you, vendors, right now is your selling season. I know, as I used to work for vendors, that in August, typically self-storage owners take that month off. So right now is your hot selling season. And Also, I wanted to mention the new California bill. There's an update on SB 709, which is the self-storage rent control bill. So I know this has been closely watched by everyone in the industry because as California goes, usually the rest of the nation goes. So careful to note, the CSSA, which is the California Self-Storage Association, and the SSA, which is our national overarching association for all of the United States, the Self-Storage Association National, each testified at a hearing on Tuesday, May 8th, resulting in the adoption of disclosure and transparency language in place of price controls. So that seems fair. We should already be transparent, right? Including a provision requiring a maximum monthly rate during the initial 12-month period of the rental agreement. The coalition opposes the 12-month period and continues to work with the author on further potential modifications to these requirements, which, if passed, will be enacted as of January 1st, 2026. So they do have a link on the California Self-Storage Association website where you can read more about this and what is included. It's pretty lengthy. Do you want me to read it all, Jason, or do you think that's good enough, the high level?
Yeah, I think the high level is kind of good enough. I think we could talk about a few aspects of the bill that you mentioned. There's the initial proposal had some price controls with maximum rent increases in the first year being related to the consumer price index plus 5%. So you could actually end up with, you know, frankly, negative prices, in which case you wouldn't be able to increase rates at all. So, you know, or a maximum of 10%, I think is how they structure it. So you could be in a situation where they're limiting your rent increases to, you know, let's call it 0 to 10% or even 5 to 10%. This is a tremendous departure from what's characterized the market over the last 2 years, because as a result of waning demand and an urge by large operators to get more occupancy, they started doing, you know, some teaser rates, you know, with the whole aggressive ECRIs that we always talk about. And a lot of times the rent increase, not even in just the first year, but sometimes within 3 months, the rent increase, you know, was, let's just say, you know, 100 or 200%. So if you've got to be limited to, you know, a 5 to 10% increase in a year, let alone 3 months, it may change your pricing tactics.
As well, it should.
Yeah, I think some of the good things to come out of the legislation, because, you know, we had been sort of warning about the fact that if an industry can't self-regulate, it's gonna, you know, attract the eye of legislators, and you know, you don't want to be in a heavily regulated industry, but you also have to have some amount of disclosure and transparency. So I think there are some requirements to disclose to the customers the maximum that their price could go to within 12 months. And I think that's still being hashed out, but that looks like a direction it might go. So no direct rate caps, but more on the disclosure side, which I think is good for the consumer to understand kind of what type of contract they're getting themselves into. Although I don't favor the rate caps. I think it's definitely changing behavior that we're seeing in some of our markets.
I agree.
In terms of the operators. And,
right. And it makes me proud of what we're doing at Sunbird, because at Sunbird, we do a promotion, but we make sure that the tenant is fully aware of what their price is going to be once that promotion is done and completed. And then from date of move in, they get their price locked in for 365 days. So they don't get a price increase in that first year. And that makes me very proud. It also allows tenants and customers to be able to budget and know exactly what they're going to be charged for, because it's time consuming and expensive to move things into a unit and then to right away start getting these huge price hikes. It doesn't feel right. So I'm really proud of Sunbird for not going that path and for playing a different playbook. So anyways,
yeah,
I hope more follow.
I think it's really changed the landscape a bit. Now, this may not be happening in every market. I can speak mostly about the North Carolina markets because that's where I follow the prices very closely. You know, we've always been transparent with our customers saying that you're getting a promotion. You might get 50% off your rate for a month, 2 months, 3 months, something like that. But you know that, you know, you're getting a $100 unit, you're getting it for $50 for, you know, 2 months, and then it's going back to 100. It's not something where, you know, you show a customer, well, here's an in-store rate of $100, and then here's the web rate, which is, you know, $30. And it looks like, wow, I'm getting this $30 rate by just booking online. Then there's nowhere that it actually tells you that, you know, it may be a web rate, but it's only good for a month. And then after that, the operator, you know, is going to do whatever they want to get you back to that, you know, kind of in-store rate, $100. So there's a couple of operators that I've noticed some pretty significant changes within our markets, and specifically in Winston-Salem and Greensboro, North Carolina. I've seen, you know, one of the more aggressive players when it came to, you know, teaser rates and aggressive ECRIs being Extra Space. I've seen the price on, you know, most of their units. It doesn't matter which size you look at. You can look at a 10 by 10. We used to see the rates sometimes, you know, web rates below $100. And now we're seeing, you know, closer to 250. Same thing from BeSafe, which is a local brand, kind of in the Carolinas and some other states, but primarily Carolinas, and they're operated by CubeSmart. So we're seeing from Extra Space and CubeSmart a very different sort of pricing regime. Instead of, you know, the super cheap, you know, $40 10 by 10s, $80 10 by 10s, with the, you know, intention to do some dramatic ECRIs, you're seeing, well, if maybe we can't do that anymore, and maybe there's a lot more scrutiny on it, you're seeing it's almost like they've reversed, and now they want to kind of get the high rates from the start, which is much more akin to our strategy from the beginning, which was to start high, stay high, but be transparent and not really aggressively hike customers quickly. So I think that's a good thing for the market. I think it's good for it's good for the consumer. It's also really good for just the industry in terms of trying to value a property, in terms of trying to do underwriting for the banks. It was really hard before to say, well, here's an $80 10 by 10, but I assume it's going to go to, you know, $200 in my model. Well, how long will that last and how many customers will vacate? But now if it's, you know, 200 from the start, it's much easier to underwrite. So I think this might be the wake up call the industry needed, and hopefully we don't go back to the paradigm we've had for the past couple of years.
I completely agree, and I'm glad they're starting to see the light. So
indeed.
So let's move on to David Perleschi, a broker. I love him on LinkedIn. He does some great posts. I really encourage you to follow him on LinkedIn, and also Meredith Meir. She does some excellent posts as well. But David Perleschi just put out a video about marketing is required regardless of the size of the facility, regardless of whether it's in lease up or it is has reached occupancy. So did you watch that video? It was really good, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I did. I did watch it a couple times.
Yeah, it was really good. So he mentioned that you should always do marketing. And even if you're 85% occupied, you need to have your pipeline filled in for prospects, because there's always attrition and we can't control that. People move across country, or maybe it was their parents' items and their parents have passed away and now they want to, you know, remove the items from the self-storage space and put it in their own home, or dispose of it otherwise, and or for many a plethora of other reasons. So we can't control always attrition. So it's good to have that pipeline filled with marketing. And a great way to do that is to build your SEO, so that SEO is like building blocks. And we use Storagely. They're a great digital marketing firm, and they also do a fantastic job with SEO. And we've seen it we've experienced huge gains from that at Sunbird. And Jason, I was wondering if you could touch on, or maybe you want to touch on it later, what you saw with SEO as it pertains to Greensboro, because I was really impressed with that as a case study for the benefits of using SEO. So would you like to touch on that now or when we go into to the market update in North Carolina?
Yeah, I could touch on it. I mean, I agree with what you mentioned around SEO, as well as, you know, what David's post was touching on for the importance of marketing. You always have natural attrition. So there's customers who just have, even if your service is good, they've just kind of, you know, outlived the useful stay. You know, they're between homes or going back to college. So there's just a variety of reasons. So it's not uncommon to have, you know, 30, 40, 50 tenants moving out in a month. So you've always got that opportunity, if you view it as an opportunity, to refill tenants. And if you can really drive demand, you can charge higher prices. So you can have people moving out at one price and moving in at a new price. So it's very important to have that pipeline full, as you mentioned. And with respect to SEO, because we feel like it's a very good investment in terms of the effectiveness for our marketing budgets. Self-storage marketing is expensive. We just have found very good results through kind of consistent SEO practices, creating content, having a really good website that helps you convert more of your traffic, all those things, versus paying the money to, you know, things like, you know, Google Ads. So we'd rather use the money in-house and make the investment than kind of send it to Google and then not invest in the website, not invest in SEO. So it's a critical part of our operations. And I think a lot of operators don't appreciate the importance of marketing. Certainly maybe people that are newer to storage, but I would say that, you know, that's one of the most important things after you get through your site selection is definitely having a marketing strategy.
Yes, agreed. I've always said marketing is like pouring fuel on the fire. So you already have the flame going, the sales, but with marketing, it's just like pouring some kerosene on it, right? But there's different marketing strategies for different areas, different markets, different demographics. So it is important to have somebody, especially nowadays, it's so technical. And so it's especially important to have a marketing person who's really schooled and educated in that regard. So, hey, Jason, would you like to give us a market update on what is going on in North Carolina right now?
Sure, I'd love to. I want to add one other thing, though, with respect to the marketing. I think we do spend a lot of time on the digital marketing, but I know you've been quite active, you know, with our local teams, just trying to build out some community marketing as well, some kind of on the ground, you know, partnerships and awareness and sponsorships. So I think every market, every site has its own, you know, kind of marketing challenges, and things work well sometimes and not others. And certain tactics work well in other areas. So you got to just continue to tinker. But yeah, marketing is just an ongoing challenge, but also an opportunity. So I would say putting in the time and the money, it's going to be one of your best investments. So yeah, turning the page to the market update, this is something that we haven't done in as much detail in the past because, you know, our Sunbird brand, you know, is one of our newer brands. It's a couple of years old, but now that it's starting to get more and more locations, we're able to assess the competition as well as the performance in different markets. So we are principally in North Carolina right now, and we're seeing some great growth. I mean, this is the entire Southeast is really known for kind of the demographic changes, the population growth, and significant demand for storage. So it's a very attractive part of the country. And we have a few locations that are up and running. We've got other locations that are opening very soon. We'll open a location this week. We'll open another location in a couple months. So things are happening much more quickly now than they did 2 years ago, both, you know, because our brand is gaining some awareness, and then also because I think the general backdrop, you know, within real estate is getting better. Investors are looking to put money to work. So, you know, we could start in Winston-Salem. So that's our original site that we opened in 2023. And we were really waiting for, you know, May to arrive because the fourth quarter and especially the first quarter tend to be very, very slow. April, you never really know what you're going to get. Tends to be still a bit slow, but May really surprised me to the upside. We rented a record number of units. I would say generally May can be the highest rental month for most locations that I've seen across North America. But even that, you know, we had our best month of the year last year in May. And then this year, it was our best month ever, and it was 40% above last year. So that was incredible. And what was really, I guess, interesting, but maybe not surprising would be, you know, our Greensboro site, which has been open for almost a year. They also had a record month in May. So these are just, you know, fantastic results. And sometimes you go through the first 3 or 4 months of the year and it's pretty slow and you wonder if the rentals will ever come. I've kind of heard the same concerns from other operators. And then, you know, May just arrives and there's so many different purposes for why people are renting units in May. Like you said, some people are getting the home ready, you know, to sell and staging. People are moving. And then there's lots of students putting their stuff away in storage. So we had a really good mix, as well as some commercial tenants, a really good mix of rental purposes and sizes, which was great. So it wasn't just all students. And yeah, May really exceeded expectations. We also had a fairly new facility that opened for us in mid-April. May was its first month in Charlotte. Charlotte's a great storage market. And and that facility, you know, for its first full month in May, did fantastic. So we're seeing really good signs right now, I would say, across Winston-Salem, Greensboro, and Charlotte. And we're really excited to see what rental season has in store.
That's great. So you mentioned that there's a store opening this week. Would you like to elaborate on that?
I would. Yeah, we have a site that is, I would say, a little over 10 minutes away or so, 15 minutes from Winston-Salem. It's in Clemens, North Carolina. It's a brand new 4-story climate controlled Class A. It's sitting at a very busy intersection in Clemens with a lot of retail nearby. So it's very well located. You know, to name a few of the retailers, it's next to a Walmart. You've got a Starbucks, multiple pharmacies, bank branches. So it's kind of a hub of retail activity. Sometimes the traffic can get a little busy over there, which just tells you how many people are coming to that intersection. But this site is getting ready to open, I think, this week. We'll probably start doing our first rentals this weekend. So it's been a great project. The building looks fantastic, and it's a really good facility to help the people of Clemens, you know, with their storage needs. So we're excited to get this thing open.
Yes, exactly. I've been there since the inception. It's gorgeous. And at night, the yellow doors are going to pop. And it's been fun to work in conjunction with Williams Development. So Taylor Williams and Dixon, two wonderful colleagues, self-storage colleagues, wonderful people. And they were actually featured in the Modern Storage Media magazine at the beginning of the year as well. So it's been really fun to work with them. And I believe we may have some more coming down the pike with them in the future. So excited about that. Really great team over there at Williams Development.
Yeah, there are some other projects that that we do have on the go, as you alluded to. Some very familiar markets. So, you know, we're working on additional projects in all these markets, Winston-Salem, Greensboro, Charlotte, and then also kind of in the greater Charlotte area in Mooresville up by the lake. We've got another project already under construction, so we've broken ground. So really trying to build out the portfolio in North Carolina and kind of building that brand awareness and really getting the operations fine-tuned. So it's been exciting to see the growth, and we've got a lot of momentum right now, which is exciting.
Yes, yeah. Agreed. So the Carolinas are growing. I have friends moving to the Carolinas, so that's exciting. What about the May market review? Did you want to go over that, or did you feel like you already touched upon that?
Yeah, I think overall it was a great month, and really, really kicked off rental season on the right foot. You know, it's very interesting when you think about what happens in May and June. Usually May is quite busy throughout the whole month, and then June goes back to being a little bit more of a normal month. By normal month, the first half of the month tends to be kind of slow. In the second half of the month, you tend to see just like a burst of rentals. So now that we're, you know, kind of crossing into the second half of June, we're starting to see the reservations build, and it's looking like June could finish quite strong as well. So yeah, I think after 2024, which had a lot of headwinds for storage across North America, I think 2025 is looking like a bit of a bounce back in terms of demand. But more importantly, I would say, in terms of the rate structure that we talked about earlier with the higher street rates from some of the leading operators, we got to watch that trend very closely to see if it continues and if other operators follow suit. I think many of the regional operators and probably some of the weaker operators, they just kind of fell in line when, you know, when Extra Space was taking rates down. They just kind of, you know, if they couldn't beat them, they joined them, and they just really went right to the bottom. So I don't think they have the confidence yet to push rates back up. But once they do, I think it'll be healthier for the whole market.
Yes. Well, is there anything else that you want to touch on before we close out?
No, I'm excited to see how June finishes up. And then, you know, we can do another episode in July and let everybody know what's the latest in terms of our store openings, our activity, and our, you know, rates in our markets.
Sounds good. I look forward to it.
Me too.
Thanks, Jason.
That concludes this episode of the Storage Stories podcast. Be sure to share and subscribe as we continue to tackle self-storage news, trends, education, and personal experiences from the competitive world of self-storage.